Great to meet you guys, and I actually came down here about 2 years ago for the inaugural service with Tuskegee. So it's really great to be here again. I'm really excited to be able to speak to you this morning, and we got a chance to go see Trey got us some tickets and let us go see Tuskegee yesterday. So that was great, and they got to see the brothers perform in the band and on the football field. And then of course Auburn is now what, 3-0, 4-0 now, and so they won. And then I got a chance to go to BurgerFi. I've never seen such a large order of small fries in my life. So that was really great. But I do think you guys got a great couple in Mars and Mike. I'm a firm believer. The longer I'm around in God's kingdom, that God has exactly where He wants you to be. Now, you may not like where He has you sometimes. That doesn't mean that He doesn't have you exactly where He wants you to be. And I think they're going to be just the fit for you. And already just being here, Shannon and I have been around a little bit. You can appreciate the fellowship and the spirit in a church when you come to visit. And that's very, very evident with you guys. As Mike mentioned, we didn't know Marge before she met Mr. Handsome Mike. And Marge has just been such a faithful sister. And I think as I got to know Mike, they served God faithfully. Yes. They've moved, I think you told me, 16 times in how many years?
24.
24 years. He doesn't want to move again. Just a little background. I have my best friend on earth here with me. That's my wife, Sharon. Some of you met her. And I've had a lot of men in my life to influence me and help me become the man that I've become. But there's nobody that's had more of an impact on me than my wife and kids. They call me higher and keep me on my knees. We have served or been in church for about 30 years, 30 plus years. I have four daughters. That's why I don't have any hair. I see some bald head brothers in the building. I see some brothers that are still holding on. Now, I don't know if you have girls like I do, but we do have a connection of not having much hair. We served in L.A., we served in Chicago, and presently we moved to Marietta, Georgia about 3 years ago come November. My daughters go from 30 and married, three kids, to 23 and one kid to soon to be 20 and at Georgia State. And then my last one will soon be 18, and she'll be graduating from high school. So Shannon and I always tell people that we have a full and busy life. There's never a dull moment for us. And one of my grandchildren, we have four grandchildren from ages 10, 9, 8, and 1.5. And so my one-year-old, Kai is his name, he lives with us. And so he is the toast of the house. He fully believes it's his home, and every room belongs to him. But we have a blast. I understand that you guys are getting into love one another relationships. Talking about that, studying that out. And for how many of you is, I appreciate, was it Matt that did communion?
Mitchell
did communion. I appreciate what he said, and the reason I appreciate it because he basically alluded to that there's always a war that we're waging, and we all have this dark side. You know, I know as Christians we don't like to think we have a dark side, but for those of you that go back far enough to Star Wars, you are from the dark side. That's where you're from. That's where I'm from. And it's just a reality thing. And so for me, one of the most challenging aspects of trying to live a Christian life, there's this book that my wife and I are reading called The Enemy from Within, is trust. How many of you ever had that battle with trust? Anybody ever had that battle with trust? Some of you look like I've just given up on it. Don't give up. You can trust. But what I realized, there's a difference between trust and interest. And I'll share some of that. But I don't think there's any better example. The older I get, the longer I'm in the church, one of my heroes is David. I love David. One of the reasons I think many people are drawn to David, because David blew it. He blew it a lot. He blew it royally, murdered, you know, adultery, and yet he's called a man after God's own heart. I think that falls right along with communion, that God's grace is more than sufficient for us. And we have to really guard ourselves from condemning ourselves when we're trying to live this incredible life that God calls us to. But the more longer I'm around, my hero is becoming Jesus. You're talking about a rebel. You're talking about somebody that went against the grain, somebody that set the standard, that loved the poor, that could walk with kings and yet talk to the common man. There's nobody like Jesus. Crossing all cultures and barriers. He's amazing. So I thought in talking about trust and the contrast between interest, there'd be nobody better to look at than Jesus. So if you would, let's go to the Father in prayer, and then we'll go to some of our scriptures. God, we do thank you for being able to worship you. It's great to be here. It's great to see another part of your kingdom and church. And brothers and sisters all over the world that are worshiping you today, and trying to live the life you call us to, and really try to pass this gift on to others. God, we love you. Be with me. Help me to speak the words you want me to speak. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, if you would, turn me over to Luke chapter 18.
My bro.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Amen. I have a big mouth. I've never been told that I've not been able to be heard. There's always a first for everything. Luke chapter 18, and beginning in, starting verse 9. The Pharisee and the tax collector. For those of you that are visiting today, it's great to have you. Welcome. We're not weird. You know, a lot of people may be coming up to you and giving you hugs, and I know that's a little awkward, and I know I thought the first time I came out, okay, what do these people want? So much so that I came back because I thought they were being fake. I didn't really think they were genuine. So I said, you know what, I'm going to come back when they're, you know, during the week. Come back during the week. You know, they've worked some, you know, they're tired. They came back, they were still weird, giving, loving. And so I started to believe. So I just want to welcome you. But in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, it says, he also told this parable, speaking of Jesus, to some who trusted in themselves that were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So Jesus says, I'm teaching this parable because we can tend to trust in ourselves more than him. So what's the contrast between trust and interest? Well, trust is to do just that, to trust in yourself, to trust in your talents, your capabilities, your experience, your perspective from life. We put a lot of stake in that. You know, I don't know many of you. You come from different backgrounds, you come from different cultures, you come from different parts of the state. Some of you have lived out of the country, some of you were born out of the country. And so it's easy for you, from your perspective, to trust in what you know, what you believe, what you feel like you have a handle on, and nobody's like you. Follow me so far?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now turn with me over to John in chapter 2.
Let's go, bro.
John in chapter 2, beginning in verse 23. Title reads, Jesus knows what is in man. Verse 24, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name. And when they saw the signs that he was doing, and when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Now, man, what's the difference here? The difference is Jesus could trust a man, but he wasn't going to put his faith in anyone but God. I'll say it again. Jesus could trust men, but he wasn't going to entrust himself to any man. You know, I have found the times that I have really struggled with my trust, and I'll share more about my personal life in a minute, is when I've entrusted myself to man as opposed to just trusting. And you know, I don't know about you, but that gives me a lot of security. I can trust people. And when I trust people, yeah, I'll get hurt. But I won't nearly flounder and go up and down and have these long periods and stints of being guarded and distant. And if you are like me at all, I know how to keep people at bay. Any of you know how to do that?
Yeah.
I got some strong non-verbals. I know how to keep people at bay. This is one of my keep at bay. I know if I'm not smiling, my vibe, my aura says, don't come talk to me. My other vibe is just like this. You say, what's the difference? That's the mean black man. So, you know, you're not going to approach the angry black man. Plus, you're here in the South. then my other one can be my body language. My body language, how I can keep you at bay, is I'm not really inviting you for a hug. And you don't necessarily feel like I want to hug you. But you know, when it comes to Jesus, he says, okay, here's the thing. I can trust men, but I'm not going to put my faith in you. If you've been around any time with your physical families, how many of you have been hurt in your physical families? Yeah. Same thing with spiritual family. How many have been used by your physical family before? They just want your money. They want your clothes. They want to wear your shoes. They don't say thank you. They don't even ask. Right? But we come in with this Pollyanna attitude with the church that, oh, I shouldn't get hurt. But what happens is we entrust ourselves to our brothers and sisters. You don't entrust yourself to anybody but God. You don't put your faith and your belief and stake your spirituality on your brothers and sisters. It has nothing to do with not loving you. Does that make sense? Does that register?
Come on, bro.
And so there's a big difference. So the times I found that I've really struggled, like I said, I'll share in a little bit, I was entrusting myself. Oh, can't believe it. Can't believe I got treated. And I'll share a little bit, like I said, about some of my challenges. So, I love getting practical. I was telling Mike this. I like to leave a sermon, a class, with, okay, how can I put this into practice today, right now, when I leave? And so I think Jesus gives us some great principles about how to build trust. Not to entrust yourself, but how to build trust with your brothers and sisters. Even if your trust has been torn, if it's been ripped a little bit, if it's been just torn apart, you can rebuild it, because your faith isn't in the church. Your faith and your belief should be staked in Jesus. We just follow a perfect God with a lot of, any of you imperfect? Let me have a show of hands. Any of you really blown it before? Yeah, some of you blown it so bad, you're like, man, I don't even want to raise my hand. It's okay. You know, I still kind of am waylaid, or kind of just, I read the scriptures and I see how men blew it, but I still think I got to try to live this perfect life. And I have to keep coming back to grace. So, Luke chapter 5. Jesus gives us some great examples
on,
of how to build trust.
Come on, bro.
Luke chapter 5, Many of you are familiar with this. In Luke chapter 5, and beginning in verse 1, it says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Any of you felt pressed with life?
Yeah.
School, yes. Kids, relationships, traffic, ball games on Saturday. We were coming back from Tuskegee game, and Mike was like, okay, if we time this just right, we can miss all this traffic from the game. And Marge told me this little statement that is made kind of in the college football realms, and here's how it goes. In the West, college football is a sport. In the Midwest, college football is a religion. But in the South, college football is an addiction. I played college football at the University of Illinois. I remember how our tailgating looked. Had a nice plot of land, RVs, people get out there worshiping their God for whoever team they're part of. I had never seen acres and acres of RVs for a college game. Yeah. It's just a whole nother level here. I digress. Okay, so anyway, we get pressed. Verse 2, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing the nets. Verse 3, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and talked to people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out deep and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I'll let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and the nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished to catch a fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Okay, a couple of practicals when it comes to building trust, reestablishing trust. Verses 1 through 3, you make time. You make time for relationships. You don't find time. You make time. Everybody's pressed. Everybody's got a schedule. I talked to some of you are at Auburn, some of you going to school at Tuskegee, some of you in undergrad, some of you on to your master's, others of you work in the community, you got family, you got family. Everybody's schedule is busy, you make time. You say find time, you're not building trust. Got to work at it. Now here's a little addendum. As you're building trust, guys, it doesn't mean everybody that you're trying to establish a relationship with that you're going to click with. It's okay. I go out with brothers and sisters. We just moved here to North River 3 years ago. Sharon and I went out with different couples, different brothers and sisters. We had a good time, but we didn't connect. It's okay if you don't connect. But don't stop trying to find that person till you do. But you got to make time. You got to make it happen. Jesus made time. He was pressed. Can you imagine all the people that were up against him? And he makes time for Peter. Verse 4, you get involved. What do you mean by that? You get involved in their culture, from their perspective, how they think, how they feel. Whether they're highs, whether they're lows. I'm looking at some of you like, Anton, that's just way too exhausting. I should not do that. Well, that's what it takes to build the trust. Ultimately, you don't get close. I don't get close to somebody. That's not on everybody. Everybody is not wrong. There's too many people in God's kingdom that I'm sure he's got somebody you can connect with besides, well, I just have my time with God and that's it. Because that's not how he built us. I'm sure as you're looking at this love one another, there's a theme throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Us. Relational.
Preach.
So you get involved. I'm building new relationships. We hadn't been around Margin maybe 20 years. I'd never met Mike. Hey, tell me your story. Get to know people's story. Three, when it comes to building a relationship. Verse 5, humility is needed on the parts of both parties to build trust. Can't work. Gotta have it. Gotta be humble. Gotta try to understand each other. Give and take. Compromise. Pray for each other. One of the best things you can do to connect is pray. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, I've gotten hurt. I don't pray for them. Mm-hmm. And even if I haven't been hurt, I just don't pray for them. But it's amazing. If I start praying for the brothers and sisters that I'm building trust with, even if I haven't been around them, because of my heart I'm praying about something that they said they need some prayer for, as soon as I see them, hey, how's it going so-and-so? And you know how that makes them feel? Oh, wow. We're spiritual beings.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer works.
Yeah.
In our carnal selves, we're worldly and we're sinful, but God has made us spiritual beings. Prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It can connect you. It can help you to build relationships. Number 4, verses 6 through 7, encouragement. Peter's so encouraged. You think? Been fishing all day, hadn't caught anything, they catch a boatload. How much do you encourage one another? It's been said there should be one critique for every 9 ways of encouragement. Could be anything. Oh, sister, I like your hair. Oh, bro, you did great on that test. My brother, I appreciate you just being, I just like, it's just enjoyable when I see you. Whatever, it doesn't have to be this, just being encouraging. I think Peter was encouraged by Jesus.
Yeah.
Number 5, verse 8, openness and vulnerability. Peter says, man, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And that's kind of where the enemy from within starts to haunt us, right? I'll make time. I'll get to know you. I'll encourage you. No, I ain't getting open. No, we're not going there again. Times I've done that is because I've entrusted myself to that person. Now, I am not advocating if somebody, you know, has hurt you, that you go back to that same person. I believe fully in boundaries. Don't get me wrong. There are brothers and sisters that have hurt me. I've forgiven them, but we ain't going on vacation. You got me? This is just not going to be that type of relationship. But you got to find, where do I have a safe place? Openness and vulnerability. He said, Lord, go away from me, I'm a sinful man. So, those are some practicals. Some scriptures I want you, I'm going to reel these off. We're not going to read all of them. Turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 23. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. Speaking of Jesus. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued what, church?
Yes.
Is it trust?
Yes.
Entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And you can write these down. Hebrews 12, verse 3. Luke 23, verse 46. What do these four passages have in common? Suffering. Difficulty. Challenges. Hardships. Just because you entrust yourself to God, guys, doesn't mean you're not going to go through some challenges. I think, I know for me, even with God, man, why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? Somebody once told me God either allows things to happen or he makes them happen. Because you know us, right? Why don't you stop this? You can stop this. This doesn't have to continue. Why won't you end it? Great question. But the times I've trusted or had a mindset or heart more about trusting, I don't hear what God's trying to teach me. An experience, good or bad, is never wasted by God if you get better rather than staying bitter. An experience, good or bad, is never wasted by God if you get better rather than remaining bitter. Never. Ever. We moved here about 3 years ago. We had a little piece in terms of our 401k, our savings, nearly 100 grand, all gone. Lost our home, lived in a nice area of the suburbs, all gone. My wife about 5, 6, 7 years ago had a heart attack. My kids have gone through some traumatic situations. Man, I wasn't trusting nobody. For sure not the church. I wasn't even entrusting myself to God. Because this is just not right. This is too much at once. But see, Jesus is not going to allow things happen that hasn't happened to him. You know, when things go on with your kids, those of you that are parents, I was paralyzed. Polarized. I mean, I just was like standing in quicksand. I remember one time a friend said, "Hey, Anton, do you think you're bitter?" "Oh, no, I'm not bitter." "Anybody, you ever, you're going through some difficulties, no, I'm not bitter." I really appreciate God's grace and patience with us and his steadfastness. And I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8 months later, Sharon and I, my wife and I are together, and I said, "You know, sweetheart, I can't keep living like this." Because I was... Maybe some of you can't relate to this. When my trust levels were really low, I wasn't even entrusting myself to God. I was sitting in the back. You know. As soon as service was over, I was out. Now, I've been around 20-something years. Fellowship. I was walking to my car. If we were going to fellowship, we can talk while we walk into my car. I remember one time a brother said to me, "Anton, this is a church about 200. He said, "You are the most uninterested person in the building." It's not easy. Nobody says it's easy. We go through stuff. 1 Peter 4:19. Uh-huh. You know, it's interesting. If you're married, you have fights. Right, marriage?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. If you're married, don't you have fights?
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, we don't want them to know. The issue is not whether or not you fight, it's whether or not you fight fair.
That's right.
Now, my wife and I had unfair fights. Unfair fights, you hit below the belt. But we've learned to fight more fair. You don't have fights. My wife has had to say some things to me, and I was to make my head turn around. But it was the truth. She wasn't being not gentle. She wasn't necessarily being unloving. I just did not like it. Just because you don't like something, God, don't mean it ain't right. So, 1 Peter 4:19. Really encouraging passage. Says, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. God is faithful, guys. Sometimes in our entrusting of ourselves to God, we just stop at the burial. We never experience the resurrection in our lives that God wants us to have. And we just stop at the cross. We stop at the nails. We stop at the spear being put in the side. And we forget all about the resurrection. And there's so many resurrections God wants to have with you in your character and in your makeup and in your life and in relationship with other people. And you don't get that. And there were times I wasn't experiencing the resurrection because I was in the tomb with the rock seal in the dark. Don't want to be bothered. Not smiling. This is my other keep you at bay. Look, I had to work on smiling. Because my wife would tell me, sweetheart, you look so mean.
I'm not mean. What's wrong with everybody? I love people.
Sweetheart, I was literally getting in the mirror and do. And you know, when you're hurt and your trust level is low and you're not even entrusting yourself to God, you feel so stupid standing in the mirror. And you know, my mentality is saying, this is ridiculous. Why this is so fake? My mouth, my face says, you are so unreal. There's no sincerity. You know what it was? It wasn't all that. I'm not used to smiling. Not used to smiling. First Thessalonians, you have to turn to 2 verse 4, talks about entrusting yourself to God to please Him and not man. Mm-hmm. Why are you here? Why are you living the life you're living? Why are you trying to go against the odds when everybody says it's because of God?
Yeah.
What separates us, guys, is not that we don't are going to deal with difficulties like the world does, it's our response. So where's your trust or entrust barometer today? On a scale of 1 to 10. Romans 8 verse 3, we don't have to turn there. Talks about how, or it'd be good for us to turn there. I think I got about 9 more minutes. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So how are you walking these days? Are you walking more in your flesh these days? Are you walking more in the Spirit? I've had my periods. I've had my seasons, guys, where I've walked in the flesh. Not trusting, not entrusting myself to God. It's such a miserable way to live as a Christian. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And so the flesh says, you can't trust them, all this, all that. That's what the flesh says. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on things of the Spirit. That people are people. Even brothers and sisters that have the Holy Spirit. Still people. We still have our makeups. We still come in with our baggage from life. Just because you became a Christian, your makeup and who you are doesn't go away. You're just covered by the blood of Jesus. We are who we are. So, if you got Achilles' heel in regards to your character, or you tend to be mean, guess what? You're going to tend to be mean as a Christian. Now, God's patience and grace is there, and, you know, prayerfully, you'll, over time, become more joyful. But that's your tendency. One of my girls said the other day, we were sitting down at the dinner table, she said, you know what, I was waiting for this person to open the door, and, you know, they were pushing the door rather than pulling it, and I was just thinking in my mind, what's wrong with them? What is it? You know what, I think I'm a little mean. And all the other family members But, see, you know, when we get our revelations, amen. We have our faith. Praise God. So how's your walk these days? Below verse 6, for the set mind on the flesh is death, but the set mind on the Spirit is life and peace. That's the amazing thing about being a Christian. That's the amazing thing about trying to work on trusting your brothers and sisters, but entrusting yourself to God, that regardless of what we're going through, we still have life. We can still be at peace. Verse 7, for the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. I've been there. What about you? Just a low-grade, bad attitude with God. Ephesians 6:10. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Ephesians 16. Finally, be strong in who?
The Lord.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in whose strength?
His strength.
You can't trust guys in and of your own self. And you can't even entrust yourself to God in and of your own self. You need your time with God. I don't know how you coming into church, or when I see you somewhere, or at a midweek. You could have had a bad. I need to be prayed up and read up. I don't know. You might have a little bad attitude. I might try to go give you a hug, and you this half-hearted hug. You may say something to me that really hurts my feelings. I've been in church quite some time. I've had racial comments and dealt with racism in the church and racial insensitivity. My father's 88. He grew up during the Jim Crow era. Mm-hmm. Guess what I learned? Guess what I heard? Mm-hmm. I had to learn, you know what? I love my Caucasian brothers and sisters. And they had to learn how to love my black brothers and sisters. But we come from different areas. Here's the thing, you know, I grew up when Mike Brown got killed. You can see my backyard. I played on those same streets. I had cops come up to us often and say, hey, move to the side. I sat down with a white brother and sister, great couple, we love them. We were talking about our grandkids. I said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to have the same conversation that you have at the dinner table with your grandson that I have with mine. Because that's just the reality of the world. I'm going to talk to him about, don't you be smart. Don't you say anything disrespectful. He asks for your license. He asks for, you say, yes, sir, no, sir. Because there's a chance you may not come home. That's just the reality of things. But I need God to love my family. Because I'm too worldly in and of myself. Maybe I'm the only one. So he says here, put on the whole armor so that you can stand, be able to stand against what? The Satan schemes more in the family of God by far more than he does outside.
Yeah.
By far. always. That's where he's trying to attack. So, you know, the older we get, we want to become less worldly, more spiritual. Along your way, God's grace is sufficient. He's patient with us, thank God. You know, we learn how to trust people. We build trust. It'll get hurt, but we entrust ourselves to God. We won't have these peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
Long peaks and valleys. We just have little dips. Say, okay, mm-hmm. This is the family of God. This is my family. Don't forget the resurrection.
Preach that.
I have four daughters. We moved here almost 3 years ago. We moved here in 2011 of November. 2012 of February, my third oldest became a Christian. 2012, my youngest, my baby, became a Christian. November of 2012, my oldest and her husband became a Christian. Don't stop at the burial, guys. Don't stop at the resurrection. God's amazing God, but there's a big difference between trust and interest. I love you guys. Thanks for having my wife and I.